brought you on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And Bravo.
Bravo is here for the first show of the year.
Happy New Year.
Very exciting stuff. Happy New Year.
I don't like odd-numbered years.
Indeed. Is it you got a problem there?
It's an OCD thing.
Oh.
I like even numbers.
I thought like it was.
And divisions of five.
On an odd year was the year.
I'm not, yeah.
I was ones, locked in threes, Uncle Touchy's sevens, puzzle nines. Basement. Okay.
Just not a fan.
We had a great new year. We launched off exactly 48 5-inch mortar shells. We had a great time. Battled the neighbors.
Do you feel like you won?
You're goddamn right I won. At the end, I launched 8 at a time. The same time. You can't top that.
Well, it's because of last year where you didn't win. You're like, this isn't going to happen again.
I won last year. I've never lost this battle. This is a neighborhood battle. I don't lose. We had a great time. And here was the best part. In fact, right as New Year's happened and we had a bunch of people over and we're launching fireworks and having a good time. And Drew and I were out there and out front with everyone. And I was like, just listen for a second. And all you could hear throughout our entire city was just boom, 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 boom. I'm like, I fucking love America. This. I love that this is illegal to do, and everyone's doing it. And here's a point to that. It's illegal in the state of Arizona to launch aerial fireworks. So many people do it, especially on holidays. Why don't the cops come and arrest everybody?
Because it's a stupid law.
Doesn't matter. They'll enforce unconstitutional laws left and fucking right. They've proven that since the time of beginning.
There's too many people breaking
them. That's goddamn right. So maybe we ought to take some little examples like this and go, hey, you know what? You know how to, if you don't want to follow the rules anymore, all you got to do is have enough people not following the rules to where they can't enforce it anymore.
That's looters.
That's why they don't arrest them.
Yeah. That's why they get away with burning down cities.
Because there's too many of them. Just remember that.
Just stay back. And
it is so easy to overwhelm.
Yeah.
You know, opposing forces. Just a thought. Just a thought on a wonderful Monday morning.
Well, and I can imagine that some of those law enforcement guys had to be thinking in their heads like, I'm not stepping into this. I don't get paid enough.
Oh, you mean the looting stuff?
And I mean, whenever there's riots and things of that nature.
Oh, of course not. Yeah. They're like, I don't want to do that. Unless I got, you know, a couple hundred of my buddies and some tear gas and shit. And we can control them.
Right.
But, yeah, whatever. Thanks to all of our patrons for being patrons. We've had a couple of you guys contact us and say that you hadn't got your sticker packs. Drew's getting them sent out. Thank you
Everybody's
for letting us know.
Them.
What's that?
Everybody's gotten them.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you guys have any questions at all about whether or not you're getting your sticker packs, your swag, a patch, whatever. Look, we'd rather send it to you and be sure, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you aren't sure if you got it or it got lost in the mail somewhere or whatever, just let us know and we'll send you another one. We're happy to. We're going to be making another sticker this year for the Arms Room Show. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. It's going to be kind of like the toaster is broken. It's going to be a similar concept. and who knows? We may remake some of the toaster is broken stickers. We'll see. We'll see. But anyway, we've got a cool new sticker and maybe patch that's coming out very soon. And we'll be getting those to all of our people as well. But all righty. What do we got into? Oh, man. First news story right up here. Jealous boyfriend becomes active shooter at an Amazon warehouse facility right here in Arizona. So essentially, guy walks in. He was not an Amazon employee or contractor. He entered the grounds of one of our larger Amazon warehouses here in Chandler and shot an unarmed contract worker who was not his initial target. They think that he was there for maybe his girlfriend, but someone made contact with him because he was acting suspiciously. And so they walked up to him and said, hey, what are you doing? Or what are you supposed to be here? Is there anything I can help you with? Or whatever was said. And boom, 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 he opens fire on them. All right. Now, that's first part of the story. Here's why that's important. If you walk around unarmed, and by that I mean not ready for violence, I don't mean just you don't have a gun, you don't have a knife, you don't have a fucking spiked baseball bat or whatever. Like, you are unready for violence. And you want to confront people, remember how risky that is. Because you don't know, like we've said before, and like we say in training, you don't know how far the other person's willing to go and how fast they're willing to get there. So if you're going to confront people, understand it's a risky business if you are not ready for violence. And this person wasn't, and they got shot to death. Now, on the other side of things, there was someone at the Amazon facility who was ready for violence. And they had actually disregarded corporate policy on not bringing their gun to work, brought their gun to work, and ends up smoking this bad guy. So, Drew has talked several times on the show and in our classes about when she used to work in the financial world, carrying a gun to work because it was worth it. You know, it was worth her life to save her life as opposed to save her career. And that's a tough decision to have to make. I've never had to make that decision before because I've never worked in an environment where, you know, you couldn't easily hide a gun or you didn't have access to guns or you didn't just carry guns with you everywhere. So it's a very different world to me. And so I don't, you know, I can't make that decision. And I can't sit here and say, if you don't do this, you're a, you know, fucking idiot or whatever. Because we're not just talking about the ability to carry guns. For me, it's a lot more about being ready for violence. This guy who carried his gun into the Amazon facility was ready for violence. He also had a gun. But people often, well, if everyone just had, like if teachers just had guns, we would stop all these school shootings. No, we fucking wouldn't. Because Dave and I have taught a lot at schools. Dave, how many teachers do you think are truly ready for violence? Out of 100% of the teachers we teach.
Zero. Without training. I mean, none of them have any training.
But I mean, just consider the teachers that you and I have taught together in the different schools you've been to. How many of them do you think were ready for violence out of 100%? Because we knew a couple of them there who had been students or been through some training.
Yeah, but the kind of violence that we're talking about is – I don't know. It's hard to say, but it wasn't a handful, if that.
Yeah, I'd say saying it's a handful is overestimating how many it really was. Yeah.
But it was that whole like, well, this guy over here can handle it because he was a former Marine. It's like, God, I'm so tired of hearing that nonsense.
Yep.
Like, well, what did he do in the military?
Yeah.
Does he have a gun on him? And some of the private stuff we did, they did have, they allowed him to be armed.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, are you really paying attention? Like, I live my life with a general mistrust of everybody. And so I don't see it as a paranoia. I don't walk around stressed out about it. I don't trust people. So unless I know you or I'm familiar with you or I've vetted you, I take certain precautions. It's just how so that I am ready if that violence happens. And that's such it's a rare way to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of people want to even look at their life that way. They want to be able to just walk up to someone and just say whatever they want, do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they're finding out that we're living in a different time now where morals are not primary, they're secondary or tertiary.
So here's some of the learning points we can take away from this, in my opinion, was one, the riskiness of walking up to someone if you're not ready for violence, and two, potentially engaging someone in an environment where you're talking about – it's unclear a little through the story on whether that shooter could have claimed self-defense – I mean the good guy, the armed citizen, could have claimed self-defense or whether this was just a third-person defense type, you know, violent, felonious, you know, prevention kind of thing. Either way, carrying a gun to work against regulation saved a lot of lives.
It's going to be interesting to see how Amazon handles this too.
Yeah, as of yet, I haven't found any substantial information about that. So,
because if they allow it, then they're condoning that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
If they fire him, they're firing a guy who just saved countless lives.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in between a rock and a hard place.
They'll probably fire him for not following policy.
I think this will just dip under the radar. And here's why I think it's going to dip under the radar, because the mass media is not going to cover the story. They haven't covered the story. This happened in our town. We live in the city, not that far away from where this happened. And I haven't heard a blip of it on the news.
Yeah.
And you're talking about Amazon. This is not a small company. It's maybe one of the largest corporations in America. and the media is not going to cover it because an armed citizen, and everybody was white, I think, which is also a thing. But the guy who ends up doing the shooting is not going to be – they don't want to hail him as a hero of any kind.
No.
Because they don't want to take an armed citizen who went against corporate policy and saved lives.
Right.
We definitely don't want that to happen. And actually, I don't have any clue if everybody was white or not. That was just – me being an asshole. So, sorry. Man fatally shoots himself in the groin while attempting a U-turn. And this is in North Charleston, South Carolina. He was found dead inside his vehicle on Tuesday. Ahmad Gardner, a 35-year-old dumbass from Charleston, died on scene from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Shot himself, probably, I would guess, in the femoral while he was making a U-turn. It was determined that the victim had an accidental firearm discharge, which I like to call a negligent firearm discharge, while driving the vehicle, which culminated in the victim's death, said spokesperson this guy. So the interesting point to this is if you're going to carry appendix itself is not dangerous. And this will lead people to go, see, that's why I don't carry appendix because you might shoot. No, stop. This has nothing to do with that. People have been carrying appendix since guns were invented. I'm talking way back in the blunderbuss days, okay? Pirate shit, Turks on the battlefield, right? These people were carrying appendix guns because it made fucking sense. Cowboys carried appendix guns because it makes sense. It's easily accessible for a smaller weapon. The problem we see with appendix carry people is trash holsters. Holsters that don't cover the trigger guard, ineffective training, ineffective placement. This is not a problem with appendix, it's a problem with this dumbass.
Well, we don't even know if he had it in a holster.
Yeah, we have no idea. There's no information about
it. Stuck in his pants.
Could have just been totally straight, you know, holsterless gangster. We call it Mexican carry in Arizona.
Yeah.
That's not offensive. It's not meant to be offensive, but, you know, it's that we see that kind of stuff. And then that's usually the way. Say someone makes an adjustment. He goes to make a U-turn. The gun slides a little. He goes to grab it. Finger goes in the trigger guard. He shoots himself in the femoral. Adios. Natural selection. Next story. Marines are potentially going to be dropping the gender identifiers now. It may be the end of sir and ma'am for the Marine Corps, which at first, yeah, I thought maybe it was like a satire thing when I first read it, but it's not. Marine Corps plans to get rid of yes, sir, and yes, ma'am over gender neutrality concerns. A recent report commissioned by the Corps raises concerns over Marines using the term sir or ma'am while addressing drill instructors due to gender neutrality worries. So here's the interesting part about all this. I'm not even going to talk about the madness that this entails. I'm just going to talk about the Christmas video that Russia released where Putin, dressed as Santa Claus, goes into a home where first they're shown it pans across a picture of two married men and then pans over to a child who's a little boy, but he's dressed up like a little girl checking himself out in the mirror. Then it pans over into the living room. And a Santa Claus appears. It's fucking Putin, dressed as Santa Claus, and he fixes the whole situation by leaving the little boy little boy's clothes and changing the picture of two married men to a married man and woman. And then he has a neat little message for, you know, the screen where basically he talks about how this is weakness. He's directly kicking us. Who would have ever thought in our whole life Russia takes the moral high ground?
That's disgusting.
And so now we have a situation where our opposition is 100% seeing us as weak. Their recruiting videos are people kicking the shit out of the enemy, which is what made me want to join the fucking military in the first place, was it was like explosions, guns, helicopters. Do you want to fucking do all this shit? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, well, you can. And I was like, fuck yeah. And then I joined. And then I did all that shit. It's like, but instead we're like, this is a story about a girl with two moms. This is a fucking army commercial. It's a real army commercial. And she goes on to talk in the cartoon. It's a fucking cartoon that talks about this girl who grows up with two moms and all the challenges. But now she's in Intel or Sig Corps or whatever the fuck in, you know, the army. And you can be in the army too. Meanwhile, Russia's still like, fucking kill people, fly helicopters, blow shit up. Our president is Santa Claus and he's unfucking your house. You're just like, fuck, man. Thank God we're removing sir and ma'am so we don't hurt no one's feelings. My favorite part of that whole article was reading the comments. The very first comment is, I hope they start putting pronouns on dog tags so that the enemy knows not to offend us. It's true. We just look fucking pathetic.
Well, and that's the
we
thing
just look
that's,
pathetic.
You know, every enemy of the state of the United States is just laughing at it's like how
we're a big fucking joke at this point. Yeah.
Look at our government. It's full of a bunch of fucking clowns and kooks.
Ugh.
Literally clowns. Unqualified people who have no business being in leadership positions.
100% embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, we can make a whole show out of this. Face recognition tech gets Girl Scout mom booted from the Rockette show due to where she works. Now, here's the interesting part about this, and this is a great story from Privacy Mike, and I want to put in his privacy tips here. A woman went to a Madison Square Garden in New York City to see the Rockette show, and shortly after entering, security booted her. So at the Radio City Music Hall, involving the mother of a Girl Scout, is shedding light on the growing controversy of facial recognition. I always love how they add pointless things to the story to make it sound worse.
Oh, gosh.
The mother of a Girl Scout. What the fuck? Who fucking cares? All right. Anyways, as critics claim it's being used to target perceived enemies. Kelly Conlon and her daughter came to New York City the weekend after Thanksgiving as part of a Girl Scout field trip to Radio City Music Hall to see the Christmas Spectacular show. But her daughter, other members of the Girl Scout troop, and their mothers got to go enjoy the show. Conlon wasn't allowed to do so. That's because when she got there, she's not just any mom. She is involved with a lawsuit. Conlon's an associate with the New Jersey-based law firm Davis, Saperstein, and Solomon, which for years has been involved in personal injury litigation against a restaurant venue now under the umbrella of MSG Entertainment. So the point being is that this gal wasn't allowed to go enjoy this show because facial recognition tagged her as someone who was involved with a law firm that is involved with legal suits against this entertainment venue. That's insane. This is how far we've come. Wow. So here's Privacy Mike's privacy tips. Facial recognition will get more and more pervasive over time. When you're in public places that you know are scanning for facial recognition, consider wearing baseball hats, sunglasses, and/or your COVID mask. You can't bypass facial recognition, but you can introduce uncertainty. There's a threshold where the system needs to have a level of certainty before flagging you. Maybe adding a hat drops the certainty from 100 to 90. Adding sunglasses drops it from 90 to 80. Adding a COVID mask drops it from 80 to 70. Maybe the system's set up to only ping on a threshold of 90% or greater to avoid false positives. If they're only 70% sure it's you, then it could also be 100,000 other people. Avoid putting your photo online as much as reasonably possible. Madison Square Garden likely did not hire a private investigator to take photos of all the employees of the law firm. They probably just scraped their website and all the lawyers who work there have photos posted on the staff page or pulled them from LinkedIn. Everything you do on the internet has trade-offs. Make sure you understand the risks so you make conscious decisions of what you post online. So really good tips from Privacy Mike. That facial software recognition shit is it's fucking spooky, man.
Yeah.
It really is. Let's see here. All right, so our Red Wire Gear moment for this week is going to be checking your sling and attachments. This is a problem we see happen a lot in our rifle classes. Had it happen twice at the awesome Out with a Bang event that we just did where, you know, like two different times in the darkness under night vision, I heard rifles go clatter, clatter, and hit the freaking ground. And a lot of times, especially when we're dealing with long guns, of course, and mostly carbines, I would say, over rifles, is the sling attachments just aren't checked. So remember that slings are a maintenance item. That means if you have a tri-glide or another type of buckle or anything like that, you're either going to have to double back or even triple back it back through that so that you can make sure that it doesn't come loose. That way you don't lose your adjustments, but also the sling doesn't just completely fall apart. Any extra strap or sling webbing or whatever that's just tailing in the wind should absolutely be taped down, and you just throw whatever kind of tape you've got. It doesn't matter. Just tape that thing in place unless you need to be able to adjust it, which very few times do you need to be able to do that. So throw some tape on there. That way there's no way that the sling is going to loosen, you're going to lose your adjustment, or God forbid it's going to completely come undone. And then don't forget the attachment points. Remember that those are wearable items, either cutie, little quick detach swivels, HK hooks, anything like that is a piece of equipment that potentially wears out and is a maintenance item. So make sure that you maintain those things. And to Dave's point, I think the QD point is a point there you wanted to make.
Yeah, that the QDs, like I've had them where I put it in and it did, and I thought it was in, pull it, pops right out. So make sure that you do the same thing like with your magazines, right? With the push pull, enter those QDs the same way with the push pull, and give it a good tug to make sure that it's not going to come loose once you hang that rifle.
So Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. All right, our topic for this week is taking stock of your emergency prep supplies and filling in the gaps. Now, this is really means taking stock of where you're at right now. And remember that emergency prep isn't just some giant, long, huge problem. It could also just be a daily emergency, something simple that happens such as, you might lose a job, or your income gets reduced because, maybe you miss a few days worth of work and you don't have any sick leave, or, maybe you change jobs and there's a gap in, your pay cycle, or maybe you get blizzarded in, or maybe you get, rained in where it floods, the pathways that you can drive in and out from, or maybe there's a slight disruption in the fuel supply to your area, or a slight disruption in, there's a trucker strike, or there's a problem like that that creates some kind of just blip in your everyday daily stuff. So that's what we're talking about first, is just the daily stuff that you got to be considering. And the very first daily use item that we want to talk about here is food, because it's the low-hanging fruit and it's relatively easy to cover, and that's this. If you ever run out of stuff, you fucked up. If you run out of your daily use stuff like coffee or bread or cereal or whatever, like whatever daily use thing that you have, if you run out of that, you fucked up. You made a big mistake, because you should already have extra of that.
Even if you're low, you're already behind.
Yeah.
Like I'm running out of it. That's no, you should. If like we were mentioning before, is everything that I use commonly, I have stacked. I have, it's very much like an inventory in a business. It's like you have, like here, you got a certain number of tourniquets, right? Mm. That you just keep on hand, mm. and you don't let it get too low, right? It's not, we have one tourniquet left, let's now order it, mm-hmm. right? And it's the same idea with how you prepare food items at home, is stack that pantry deep, and then if I have two or three, then I actually have zero, and I work from there. And like we were talking about going to the store, and if I buy one loaf of bread, well, today I'm going to buy two. And now I've got double the loaves of bread. It cost me a few more dollars, and now I have – and it's over time building that stock, right, so that you can last daily, but also – as we go into this topic more, right, longer term.
So daily use, just your regular foods. And that's important to keep your regular foods going, because you don't want to have to dip into emergency supplies because you had a slight disruption in your daily life, right? So that's thing number one. And thing number two, you don't want to have to totally change your diet. Like some people are like, oh, I don't have to worry about that. I have grain. I'll just grind and make my own wheat or bread or whatever. You're like, yeah, but your body's not going to like that the way it likes the other stuff. And so now you had a little blip for a few days or maybe a week or whatever of your daily use stuff, and now your guts hate you, right? And you're backed up, or you can't stop shitting, like, or you're throwing up, or your body feels lethargic or whatever because you totally change your diet. So we want to be able to keep those daily use items that we have going on. And of course, along with that is also going to be water, and the concept of having enough water and making sure that, I get up every morning, I just start my day with a glass of water. And there's a report that I read years and years and years ago that was essentially saying that over 70% of the population is chronically dehydrated, to the point that the majority of daily concerns and complaints that most people have, like joint pain and muscle pain and fatigue and headaches and things like that, are actually caused more by chronic dehydration than they are by any other problem or injury. And so much so, people are so chronically dehydrated for so long that they actually mistake the thirst impulse for hunger. And so they start eating and they still can't get full because they're actually fucking thirsty. So they just keep eating. And then, of course, that leads to other problems. And so this is a major issue that people have.
100%. And making sure, too, it's not just, okay, well, I know I got to drink more. Because how many times have we heard that? It's like beat into our heads. But how many of you actually plan the amount of water that you need to drink. Do you know how much water you need
and
to drink?
And track. You know, that's another key thing. I have a water app that I have on my phone that's free that you just plug in how many ounces a day. It calculates it for you for how much you weigh, how tall you are. It'll say, based off of little information, this is what we calculate you should be intaking. And you can track it. Like, after you're done drinking, you can log in there. Okay, I drank my Hydro Flask, which is 32 ounces. Boom, plug it in there. Yeah. And whatever else, it's got like coffee, juice, energy drinks, blah, 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 that you can keep track of, like actually what you're keeping track of.
Yeah.
Well, which is also important.
And I'm a big fan of taking the amount of water with you that you need to drink that day. Because relying on the fact, well, I'll fill it up at work, or I'll fill it up here or there, or I'll buy some more water at the convenience store, all that kind of stuff. I'm not a big fan of that. I like being prepared, planning ahead so that I don't have to stop, for example, or worry about picking this stuff up later. I'm going to end up forgetting. And then if I forget, now I'm not getting the water in. So I like to have a big enough flask that I take with me that has all the water that I need to drink that day. And that's my measurement, very much like an app, is when this bottle is empty, then I'm set.
Mm. And you also look at it from an aspect of, this isn't just a daily use thing that I might need for my body. Like, I like to carry extra water because I might need water for other things. Like, I've used water to rinse a small wound, or I use water to, you know, maybe cool off a little bit, or I've given, you know, my dog needs water, or my one of my kids needs water. Like, if one of my guys needs water, it's like, well, you fucking should have brought some more, you idiot, right? But like, if it's my children, I'm going to share my water with them. So when I'm also thinking of my daily water, I also want to include lots of extra water. Like, I've got the very large Hydro Flask that I carry around in my truck, plus extra water, plus my normal Hydro Flask that I'm drinking my primary water out of. Right. Then I have all this extra stuff because there's other reasons that I might need water. It's a very useful thing to have, not just for drinking. So that's another reason to consider potentially, you know, needing that extra water. So the next daily use item you really want to be taking stock of right now is hygiene items. Like, you really want to be thinking about whatever hygiene means to you, okay? Like, for me, I want extra deodorant, I want extra shampoo, I want extra soap, I want extra toothpaste. I want the extra things that I'm going to need. I want extra, you know, whatever, you know, good set of tweezers and an extra set of freaking scissors and whatever, right? Like, you know, like little, you know, trimming scissors, and, you know, I want extra razors. I want all those things. I want extra because I don't know when that supply chain could be disrupted, or again, when I might just not have access to it. And so for me, I look at it like Dave mentioned with the food thing. To me, it's the same concept. It's like, the if I'm tapping into my last thing of toothpaste, I'm out of toothpaste. To me, actually, if I'm tapping in my last thing of toothpaste, I fucked up big time. It's probably the fucking apocalypse, because if I'm tapping into my next toothpaste, I still have two or three left, and now I'm out. Now that I'm tapping into my extra, I don't want to tap into my reserves. I only want to tap into my extra.
Yeah. So, I don't know, a couple of days ago, I went to the store and I bought two packs of toothpaste because it's usually cheaper to buy it in packs.
Yes, generally.
And I come home and I open the drawer and there's already two packs. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I just bought extra. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel bad.
No.
I was like,
oh no.
I was kind of like, all right, cool. I'm set for months.
Yeah. And next time, if I'm at the store and I buy another couple extra packs and I come home and now I have five or six packs, fucking rad.
Right. It, like, doesn't expire.
Not going to expire. Who cares, man? So consider, you know, wanting to have those extra hygiene items. You know, it's like, yeah, I know you can make this kind of stuff. I know that these are things that I can fabricate. I know people who make their own toothpaste, their own soap, and that's all really cool. But remember, in an emergency, I don't want to have to worry about making stuff. To me, what I'm doing right now is the same thing we do in training, and that's removing variables. I want to make sure that all my variables are removed as much as I can possibly do. So if I have the food that I normally eat, extra water with me, I've got, you know, my hygiene items. Like, these are things that I can, okay, now I got to go out and because the fuel is shortage or whatever, now I got to jump on my bike and I got to ride down the street to whatever. I don't have to worry about buying fucking toothpaste and soap and shit, because all I'm going to have to do is go down there to buy an onion or whatever, you know, we didn't have enough of or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to maybe even worry about going to the store at all because I have plenty of things. And I'm not at home trying to also go, okay, now I got to fucking make soap. Like, in any kind of personal emergency, yeah, you know, there's a job blip in your life maybe, and you're tapping into your reserves now to, you know, carry you over until you start getting a paycheck again. I don't want to be worried about being at home making fucking soap when I'm also trying to, you know, apply myself to a new job.
Well, and these are – so I have like a supplement routine that I have that, you know, certain like vitamin C and vitamin D, whatever, that I take in the morning. And I also have minerals that I mix with my water and so forth. And like you were mentioning earlier, I don't – I have enough to worry about. If something like this happened, I'm stressed about the event. Mm. What I don't want to be worried about is now how – oh, I'm running out of all these other things that actually help me keep healthy and alert and all of those things. Mm. Now that's going to cause me more stress because I'm not taking those things. So I can control those. I can't control that there's a natural catastrophe, but I can control how many supplements I have on hand. And that, hey, you know what I don't have to worry about? I don't have to worry about that. My health is going to stay on track. I'm not going to have any digestive disruptions or anything else that could go wrong because of diet change because I didn't plan ahead. Mm-hmm. And stuff I can do that's easy. None of that stuff's super expensive. And it's just it's a lifestyle change.
And so I don't want to delve too deep into this one because we could go deeper into like financial preparedness and everything with this one, but cash. A daily use item I think people need to take stock of and have on hand is some cash. You should have some cash in your wallet. I always consider there's two things I want to have cash for. This is how I figure my value of cash that I keep with me. I want to be able to pay for a hotel room and put a full tank of fuel in the car. So whatever that costs in your area, you should have that much cash. Why would I want to be able to do that? Because if I'm driving down the road and I'm in the middle of fucking nowhere, which I often am, and I am exhausted and I need to stop and sleep and maybe take a shower and maybe get cleaned up for the, you know, the rest of the drive tomorrow or whatever. I just want to sleep in a bed. Guys, I've slept in my truck plenty of fucking nights. I've slept on the side of the road. I've slept in a rest area. You know, I've slept out there so many fucking nights. Sometimes it's nice to just stop and get a fucking room somewhere and just relax and have a place where you can go kick your feet up. I have literally been like mid-trip driving down to go teach a class or driving up somewhere to go teach a class or whatever and been like, I am so fucking exhausted and all I want to do is just like have a bed and a place that I'm not having to worry about like personal security, right? You know what I mean? I can just lock the fucking door and just go to sleep. And I've done that for – I've rented a hotel room for 5 hours. You know what I mean? Like I'll obviously pay the whole day, right? But five fucking hours. You know what I mean? The other day we were up in Prescott and, you know, we had a nice hotel that Drew and I had stayed at when she had a doc appointment up there. And after her doc appointment, I went ahead and re-rented the room because it was like, man, after your doc appointment, she had to get some stuff done to her knee. And it's like, your knee's going to be fucked up. You're not going to want to walk around. You're going to be tired. I'm not going to want to drive home. You're not going to want to be all cramped up in the car. Let's just get the hotel. We were there for 3 hours, 4 hours, it was totally fucking worth it. So my point is, you may not even need a hotel room for the whole time, and maybe you just need some place to go chill for a minute and a full tank of gas because that'll help you out. So how much cash do you need to pay for that? And why do you want cash? Because I get to the middle of bumfuck nowhere and their credit card machine doesn't work, I'm fucked. But if I have cash, I'm good. More than one time have I gone to go buy fuel and the machine doesn't work, or it's declining my card because it doesn't have the chip reader, or the chip on my card isn't working, or some bullshit where I'm just like, fuck, and I just want to go inside and just go, here's fucking put 60 on pump 5, you know what I mean, and walk back out there. These days, that's not even a full tank of gas, but you know, it's like I want to go out there and just be like, just give me some fucking fuel, here's some cash, I'm out of here, you know. So keep enough cash that you can do that. That's the way I look at daily use cash.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I was going to say about electricity, like power outages or just credit card machines go down or whatever. Because that's the thing I think is going to affect – we rely so much on electronics that I think that would be a complete disruption of so many people's lives.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So the next thing on the list for daily stuff is fuel and power. And we're going to put both of these into one, but we're going to talk about them kind of briefly separately. And that's first fuel, which we're going to say in this case is gasoline, but could be whatever the fuck it is to you. And power here we will say is electricity, but it could be whatever it is to you. The concepts are the same. So the first one's fuel, which is something we already kind of mentioned. But to me, daily use fuel means I don't let my gas tank get below half tank at the end.
Remember when we first started dating and I'd always go empty?
It was a battle. It was a fucking constant battle. Drew has finally got to the point where she now sees half tank is empty.
Mm-hmm. Well, the conversation at dinner last night.
That's right. True. We did have a good conversation last night.
My wife, yeah, brand new car. And I can't even tell you how many times we've had this conversation. I try to be really nice about it. And before we leave the house, I'm like, hey, which car are we taking? How much gas does a 4Runner have? A quarter tank. And as soon as she says it, she's like, a quarter tank, but I can go a long way on a quarter tank. Like, we're taking the truck.
Yeah. Well, and so there was a news story we didn't get to today that I'll briefly talk about here. And it's basically a gal in Buffalo, New York, got trapped in the blizzard. And over the last few weeks, many people have been getting trapped in these blizzards and
dying. It's like
and
a dying. Thing going on right now.
Because people leave their houses not prepared, which is one of the things we're talking about here in a little bit. But it's like they leave their house not prepared for the day, and then they hop in a car in a fucking snowstorm. It's like, you know it's cold. You're probably not prepared. They don't have anything in their car. They don't have anything to keep them warm. I mean, look, hot hands are 99 cents, and, you know, a couple of blankets is, you know, nothing. Just grab a couple extra blankets out of your house or go buy a couple extra blankets and toss them in your car. They don't even have to be big ones. You can get the little compressible ones, whatever it is. This gal died, and the shitty thing is she's able to text and call her family and friends as she's just sitting in this car dying, and no one can get to her because it's a fucking blizzard and it's frozen, and emergency response personnel can't get to her because of where she's at. And it's just
did
like,
she run out of gas?
She had gotten trapped. She was trapped in her car during the blizzard and died. Yeah, basically she had run out of fuel or something like that and got trapped in her car in the middle of a blizzard. And so the point being is, it's like, this is another reason I want to keep that tank on half full. There's many times in the summertime I've even just been stuck behind a traffic accident, and I'm happy I'm on the top half of the gas tank because it's 115 degrees around here, and I'm just pumping the AC. It's awesome.
Well, and any number of other things could go wrong with your car, so why not eliminate one of those things that could go wrong?
Yeah.
That's a variable.
Yeah, eliminate the
runs
variable.
Out of fuel? Don't let it do that. Don't let it do that.
Easy. Like batteries. I'm going to change before summer hits. I'm going to change. I drive a diesel, so I have two stinking batteries I got to change. But and they're not going bad yet, but I'm still going to change them before summer gets here. Am I losing a little bit of money? Yeah, probably. But I'd rather that than be stuck on the road.
With a dead battery.
At 110 degrees.
Yeah.
Well, you got a $60,000
vehicle that doesn't work. Right. Because of a $200 fucking part.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a little – I have a little jumper thing that we have. What brand is it?
I don't remember.
Starts with an N.
We already talked about this. But, yeah, I carry one of those in my vehicle, and I've had to use that quite a few times.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And hey,
you don't
want
to have to
phone?
Jump your vehicle. Change your batteries when you're supposed to. Just like we do with our optics and all the other gear that we have is batteries that are usable, right? Don't wait till they're – completely used before you realize.
Well, it's not my battery that dies. If I leave my hatch open, it'll
this
like
crazy light drain thing we got to figure out with the 4Runner. But to go to the power thing now, right? Let's look at power. Like, can you power your most important electronic? Because right now is like your phone. So do you have the capability to power your most, you know, important communication electronics, let's say your phone? You know, like, those little battery charger packs now aren't even bigger than anybody's wallet, and they're like 30 freaking bucks, man. They're so inexpensive. I like the Anker brand, or however you say it. Anker is my favorite. We've had some. We beat them up a lot. I just bought Drew a new one. It's like 30 bucks. It'll charge your phone two or three times. They're awesome. It's smaller than her phone.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, why not carry these things around with you? This is an important communication device. Sometimes it goes dead. Why? Anytime someone's like, I can't do – my phone died. I'm like, you suck at planning. Your phone fucking died? There's an electrical outlet everywhere. Why don't you just carry a little cord? They even have those things now that will plug directly. They're like the size of a USB jump drive. And they'll plug directly into your phone and give you a full charge. And they're like a couple of bucks. It's a great little emergency tool. And they're a disposable thing. You don't recharge them. Yeah. You just plug them in, and then it juices your phone one or two times, however many times it needs to or can. And then you just literally fucking discard it. And it's like, that's amazing. Why don't you have that thing? That's a cheap little thing that you can just carry around with you. It's so tiny that you're like, oh, shit, it's an emergency. I need to charge my phone. You know, and there's times where I've had weird emergencies with my phone, like, you know, I'm hiking and my headlamp has gone dead. And for whatever reason, like, oh, fuck, I didn't charge it. It didn't get charged. I had my headlamp one time in this particular story I'm thinking about. It turned on in my backpack and I didn't realize it was on. And so it just drained the fucking battery. I didn't have any other way to charge that one at that time. And so I ended up using my handheld light and my phone light. Well, luckily, I keep my phone juiced up all the time. And so between my handheld light and my phone light, I'm in business. And I was able to get back to my truck and, you know, no problem whatsoever. And I had to navigate through some nasty brush and stuff like that. I was out doing some predator hunting. And because I keep my phone juiced and my handheld light, I'm like, I got all the light I need. But had my, you know, had my phone, and using a light on your phone that much drains a freaking battery. So by the time I got back to the truck, like, my phone was very depleted. But it's okay. I actually had a, you know, charger in my bag for that, and of course in my truck. So it was easy to take care of. But the point being is, like, now look at power elsewhere. So how about power to your house? And, like, Drew and I have the capability to plug our generator directly into our house and power the most essential parts of our home, like refrigerator, freezer, and air conditioning unit or heater unit as needed. And that's just because of a simple power outage. We have power outages all the time here.
Well, and it's also important, too, to set priorities, to figure out what is in your house that if power went out, depending on the time of year or whatever, what's the worst case scenario? Probably yeah. Summertime.
Yeah.
What would I need to power? What's the most important thing? And then, you know, plan generator purchases, whatever, that can supply that amount of power. And then also, if it's electric, you know, fuel generated generator, then do I have enough fuel? How long can I run that? And so those kind of things are, you definitely want to make a priority and have those things in place so that you, again, if I'm dealing with a disruption, I want it to be the least amount of disruption to my life. Mm. And keep that as comfortable as I can while I deal with the stress of whatever event is going on.
So the next thing on the list is really simple and something that literally you're going to do every single freaking day, and that's your clothes. The clothes you put on your body, as I'm going to go leave the house, am I preparing for the day? Like, it always blows my mind when people are like, oh, I'm so cold and I forgot my jacket. And I'm like, did you just wake up from a fucking coma? You're like, you don't know what day it is? How do you not know that you need to – and you're in shorts and a thin little T-shirt? Like, chicks are always the most amusing to me, and how they dress. I want to look really good. Well, you're also fucking freezing cold. Can I have your jacket? The gentleman in me is like, sure. But the preparedness guy in me is like, no. Fuck you. Get your own fucking coat. See how I brought a coat? Because I knew it was going to be cold. Right. I'll be warm. You can sit there and fucking shiver.
Well, it's in the movies, right? Movie theaters are always cold. Get in there.
Yes, they are. I always bring a jacket because I know I'm going to be cold.
It's like, Marie, where's your jacket?
Right.
It's like, you know it's going to be cold.
Right.
Well, and I literally bring a duffel bag with a complete set, at least one complete set of change of clothes, complete, top to bottom. Because I don't know. I could, like you said, I could be changing a tire on the side of the road. And now not only am I dirty, but I might be stinky and sweaty. And I really don't like when sweat dries and I'm wearing the same clothes.
Because it's all crusty.
And I just smell it and it's like, so even if I don't get to clean myself, I can just put on a clean shirt. It just, yeah.
Makes all the difference in the world. Yeah. So, yeah, what are you carrying in your vehicle? You know, or with you that could enable, because there's all kinds of reasons. Like, I changed my shirt one time because I'd stopped at a vehicle accident and helped somebody and got a bunch of their blood on my shirt. And I just didn't want to deal with that anymore. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'll just go home and take a shower. Like, no, man, I don't want this person's blood all over me. And the way it was easier for me to just deal with it the way I was dealing with it. And then at the end, I'm like, fuck, man, I have all this blood on me. You know, like, I want to get this off. And so, like, do you have the capability to change your clothes for simple things? I've changed my clothes because, yeah, I got really sweaty doing something. I'm like, man, I just wish I had an extra T-shirt. Oh, yeah, I've got one in the truck. Like, you know, you may want to change your pants, socks. I don't go anywhere without extra socks. That has been beaten to my skull from the time I was a kid, you know, with my father through the army and everything else. Like, extra socks, man, change your socks, you know. Your feet start hurting. Your feet start getting sweaty. You start getting, you know, feel like you get hot spots, blisters, whatever. Boom, pull your shoes off. Take care of your feet. You know, and along with that, maybe foot powder, maybe, you know, foot cream, whatever it is that you need to make that more effective. But the clothes that you wear are a daily use item. Also, take stock of what you have. In other words, do you have extras of the things that you need? Like, right now, I know that there are certain brands and certain models of footwear, so I have extra pairs of those that work for me, right? I know that there are certain pants that work really well for me, so I buy extra. Not when I need them. Oh, I got a hole in these jeans. It's time to go buy more jeans. No, I have those extra pants on stock ready to go. If there's a slight hiccup in the supply chain or my ability to maybe even pay for it. So I want to buy, you know, if I'm like, hey, I got some extra money, I'm going to go buy some of the things that I need so that maybe later if I don't have as much extra money and I'm like, fuck, man, you know, I'm kind of short on cash. I need, you know, some extra pants. I need some extra shoes, whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah, I already have them. I bought them during the, you know, the thick times. And so now that it's the thin times, no big deal. I'm already taken care of. Already got them. A variable I can remove and I don't have to worry about it. You've got plenty of clothes.
Well, and it's not something that, like, this may sound like I got all the money in the world to buy clothes, but I have a pair of shoes that I only wear to the range.
Right.
And I have a pair of shoes that I use for projects around the house.
Your old man sneakers?
My old man, yeah. And then I have another pair of shoes that, okay, these are when I'm going to be at the school. I want to look nice or whatever. Mm. And they basically rotate. So when my nicest shoes are like, yeah, I'm ready for something new, they bounce down. And so I literally have three or four pairs of shoes that I could go to at any point. Plus I carry an extra pair in my truck.
Mm.
So that, and I do the same with my pants, same with my shirts. I always have multiples. And there's always that kind of layered effect so that they all have a use. They're not just sitting in my closet doing nothing. But at the same time, I also have extras.
And so that's, you know, just the capability to have those clothes that go perpetually on for every person that you are also considering being in your family, like your kids and your spouse and your significant other or whatever. Like, do you have clothes for them to grow into? Let's say there is a hiccup in the supply chain and suddenly you can't get clothes for your kids anymore. Do you have some clothes for them to grow into? Do you have shoes for them to grow into? These are all important processes of daily use items. Minor medications and also prescriptions. Like, especially with prescriptions, you need extra, like, again, blows my mind when people are like, oh yeah, my prescription's out. I need to go get some more. And I'm like, it's out? You fucked up. You know, it's, well, I can only get so much from my doctor. I'm like, figure it out, man. I know there's ways around it. I'm not going to sit here and detail them all right now, but like, there are ways to get more prescription medications, whatever it is you need. Have a 2 week, 1 week, if it's got to be refrigerated, whatever, I don't know, but like, whatever it is that you need to have at least enough to get through a few days if, God forbid, you had a lapse in your capability to get it. What if your insurance drops tomorrow? What, you know, what if you lose your job and that medication you need is really fucking expensive? Do you already have some on hand so that you can still have access to that? You're removing that variable. You're removing that stress.
Well, even more serious things like insulin, you know.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff, you can't mess around. You mm-hmm. can't.
You know. Can't skip a couple days.
yeah. Or birth control.
Yeah, probably don't want to skip a couple days unless you want more expenses.
Make sure you have plenty of tampons because those can run out, right?
yeah.
And you can use them. You can use them as wound packs.
Oh, my God. Stop it, David. You're fired. But also like minor medications, you know, the simple stuff. I mean, literally little things like Band-Aids and triple antibiotic ointment. And
headache medication.
It blows my mind when people are like, yeah, I don't have any, ibuprofen. I don't have any Imodium AD. I don't have any Ex-Lax. I don't have any, you know, Pepto. I don't have any Tums. I don't have any triple antibiotic. I don't have – you're like, how do you not have any of that?
Sunscreen.
Cold medication.
In Arizona.
People in cold medications, it's like every cold season, every flu season, just they wipe the shelves clean. And it was like, I can't get any. And I'm like, not us, dude. We have plenty at the house already. Want to know why? Because fucking cold season comes by, I don't know, every year about the same time. Like when you know what's coming, just go down to the store and buy some. It's good for a long time. Go down and buy some. When you see it in stock on the shelf, get it. If you're like, I don't have any of that at home, get it.
Yeah. How many times have you been at the range where you're putting sunscreen on and somebody's like, and you're like, does anybody else need any of this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I need some. Like, okay. So you have 10,000 rounds of ammunition.
Right.
But you didn't bring sunscreen.
No sunscreen. Yeah. And it's not even that like, oh, you live in Arizona, you need sunscreen. It's like, no, you live under the sun. You should probably wear some fucking sunscreen sometimes. Yeah. And yeah, people who don't have any. You know, it's the same thing. Like, we buy sunscreen literally on Amazon in like six packs. You know, yeah. Not only so we have a ton, we also have a lot of people to deal with, but it's like, yeah, dude, I want a bunch of it. I don't want to run out because as soon as I get on, if I get to my last can, I fucked up. Because if a supply chain hiccup or whatever happens tomorrow on from my perspective or from my side or from someone else's side, dude, I'm out.
That's barter material.
Vehicle related daily use stuff. Look at what do you need for your vehicle? Dave already mentioned, you know, like basic maintenance. Like, when was the last time you walked around and kicked your tires? Have you had your tires rotated recently? When was the last time you rotated your battery? How about your wiper blades? Take care of things before they break. Did you buy a set of wiper blades? Awesome. Good for you. Did you buy an extra set? No, I only buy them when I need them. Fuck. You fucked up. Buy an extra set. Next time you go down, buy one, buy two. Or next time you have some extra money, go down there. You already know what you just bought because you just replaced them. No big deal. Remember that model number. Go down there and buy an extra set. Put it in the garage. Now, when you need another pair, instead of being like, shit, I got to run out of the store, blah, blah. Nope. You got your extra pair right there. And since you're about to use it, go down to the store and get another pair. Right? Like, same thing with, you know, maybe you don't have to keep that online with like batteries, but same thing with other pieces of your vehicle. Everyone's vehicles can be a little different of things that might wear out. You know, how many people do you know who keep extra bulbs for their lights? You know, almost nobody. Everyone's like, oh, my light went out. I got to go to the store. I got to, it's like, dude, you know that it's going to go out, right? You know, so why didn't you have an extra part for that? And yeah, you could go crazy here and have it, you know, basically a whole extra vehicle inside your garage. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the extra, a few extra things of stuff you know is going to wear out. You know they're going to wear out, you know.
And then having even, you know, like a quart or maybe 2 quarts of extra oil, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe a half a gallon of antifreeze or – because that could be the difference between you being stuck on the side of the road or making it 2 or 3 more miles mm-hmm. to
– getting just inside the town limits so that the tow isn't as expensive right. or getting, you know, getting to that gas station or getting to that repair facility or whatever. Absolutely. And if it helps me limp along to get to that next point, you know, what do you have for your extra tire stuff? And we cover this all the time on the show, like your tire, check your jack, have better tools. You know, have a breaker bar. If you have a, especially if you have a big truck with heavy tires and big lug nuts that have been put on with a fucking torque wrench, like an impact drill. I mean, like, man, you're gonna need a breaker bar to get those things off. Your hands are hot, your hands are sweaty, your hands are cold. It's snowing, and you're trying to break your lug nuts free. Oh man, I want a 3-foot breaker bar, thanks. You know, so it's like, look at those kinds of things. You know, what if I need to patch my own tire? Have you ever gotten 2 flat tires? I have. It sucks. You pick the flat tire that's the least bad and you plug it with your own tire repair kit. Tire repair kits are the easiest things to use. They're so simple. It's so simple to put a tire plug in. It's so easy to do a tire plug. Yep.
And it'll get you to the next place.
It will limp me to the next place.
And this isn't one of those kind of, I don't understand this, but there's people that don't know if they have a spare tire because they've never looked in the trunk. They never looked under their car. And if they know they have a spare tire, when was the last time you checked the tire pressure? Because it doesn't matter if you have a spare tire, if it's flat or if it's super low. And do you have the ability to – I carry a small air compressor that works 12 volts. I can mm-hmm. plug it into my vehicle
yep.
and pump up my tire.
Yep.
It sits in my console. I have a battery charger or a jumper.
Little jumper pack, yeah.
Yep, that I don't need jumper cables for. I can just hook this thing up to my truck, and it has an incredible, insane amount of power. Mm-hmm. To jump my vehicle. So, and having those pieces in my vehicle is like, it's such a relief
mm-hmm.
because I can only count on me. I can't count on there being someone else to either help me or jump me or anything like that kind of stuff.
And a good jump pack and a decent little compressor, you're talking less than $200. In fact, they even have some units with both of them built in.
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, this is easy stuff, daily use stuff that's going to help me get from this basic, simple emergency. Last thing we're going to talk about is the defensive world of things, right? The daily use defensive concept. Like, take a real daily stock. So many people just – they get their carry gun or they get their blade or they get their med kit or they get whatever it is that they use daily, and they just think about that thing. And they get so used to doing it that they rarely stop and think, is this still the best tool for me? Does this still really fit my needs? Is this really going to handle the emergencies that I might be facing now? My life has changed. Am I still a single guy? Now I'm married with kids. Okay, maybe my defensive tools need to change and develop. You know, what's the crime rate now in my neighborhood or my city that I go in? You know, I've changed jobs. I'm working at night now instead of working in the day. How does that change that maybe my need to carry an extra magazine or, you know, carry a med kit or carry more in my med kit? You know, maybe I'm on the road more. What should I be putting in my daily med kit now? So really start really looking at stuff and taking a real inventory of where you're at with your defensive tools and, of course, your defensive skills.
Well, and then also on the medical, like we've talked about this many times, is where's your level 1 trauma center?
Mm-hmm.
In your neighborhood, where you live, if there is an emergency with a family member, where is the best place to take them? It may not be where you think. It may not be the closest hospital.
And where's your secondary in case that primary is swamped, overloaded, not available, because underwater, whatever. Like, where's your secondary one? So, and again, guys, we're just touching on the surface here for a lot of these topics. I'm just trying to get you guys to think a little bit more about really taking inventory of where you're at for emergency prep. Now, all we have time for today is to talk about these daily things. But from a monthly perspective, we kind of put a list together that I'm just going to read off. And these are just long-term things that you might want to take stock of. And, of course, there's 100 more things that we don't have on this list. This is just a quick list we put together before the show of some things that we commonly see people aren't really taking a good inventory of. That's for – we're going to say monthly, meaning this event is now going to last weeks or more. And so that means – whatever this event is, whether it's a loss of a job, whether it's a change in economy, whether it's a fucking, you know, apocalypse, whatever it is, these are things where the event's going to last longer. So first of all, transition foods. Things that are going to get you from eating your normal everyday stuff to now dipping into your food supplies and eating MREs and dehydrated meals every day, or maybe just eating, you know, raw meat and raw grains every day. So you're going to have some transition foods that get you in that middle point. Large water filters for pool chemicals, canal chemicals. You know, everyone's like, oh, I got this local pond down at my park. And it's like, yeah, man, that thing is chock full of dangerous and deadly chemicals. So you probably don't want to just be drinking that water. Oh, it's okay. I got my little Sawyer filter. And it's like, yeah, man, it doesn't filter out all those chemicals. You need something like a Berkey Black or something similar that can get the chemicals out. Gardening tools and supplies, seeds, beds, greenhouses, fencing, you know, spades, all the normal stuff you're going to need to garden. Communication capabilities, basic radios, you know, backup phones, power sources, things of that nature. The ability to cook off grid, butane stoves, propane grills, and extra fuel, as well as things like rocket stoves and other types of stuff that don't need a fuel source other than, you know, wood, but can still cook very quickly and efficiently. Long-term power and lighting. So now we're looking at that long-term power generation. Solar capability, you know, that plugs into a generator that can, you know, juice up your generator throughout the day, et cetera.
Or just candles. I mean, do you have a stack of candles?
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about a cheap fucking prep. Candles, a bunch of them. Not the little tea light ones. I'm talking about real candles. Other lodging capabilities. So do I have the ability to put in my life, like do I have good tents and good sleeping bags? If I needed to leave my home for whatever reason, natural disaster even, do I have the capability to put my family up in something? You know, other lodging. It could be a travel trailer. It could be any of those things if there was enough fuel in the vehicle to pull it. Long-term fuel storage. How am I going to long-term store fuel and stabilize that fuel so that it doesn't go bad? Long-term defensive concepts. Now I have to start thinking about, all right, it's not just me and a pistol and maybe a reload. Now I got to start thinking about sustaining my security capability and other tools and other implements that I might need, you know, fencing and deterrence and maybe some delay tactics and, you know, growing certain things or implementing certain things that turn my property more into a defensible location.
Well, and keep in mind, too, that all this prepping that you're doing is now making you a prime target for all those people who didn't prepare.
Especially if you're letting everybody know about it. Yeah. Other transportation. A bike is easy. A moped. A fucking dirt bike.
A horse.
Those things are fine. A horse. I prefer things that are just man-powered. So bikes. Bikes for everyone. Everyone in your household should have a bike. Everyone. You don't even have to ride it a lot, but everyone in your house should have a bike. It's good. It's good. You should go ride. It's a lot of fun. We love doing it as a family. It's a great, great activity. But have bikes for everybody in the family. If I just need to run down to the store, gas is fucking $10 a gallon or whatever, and I just want to run down to the store and pick something up real quick, bikes. It's a great way to just be able to have cheap, easy transportation.
And if you already have things like ATVs, one of the nice things is that you can travel quickly mm-hmm. with a lot less gas.
Over crazy terrain. Places you couldn't take a truck.
Right.
So, places I can't ride my bike.
Because I can go forever on 5 gallons of gas mm-hmm. in my ATV.
Networking. Start now. This is a major long-term prep we have to start considering. Who are my people? Where are my people? Where, you know, what stuff do I have located where? And who's inside the circle and who's not? Yeah. And what skills are we lacking in our group so that we can find somebody through networking that can fulfill that need? And then the last part is spreading supplies around and caching stuff in different locations. So like where, you know, having all your eggs in one basket is not always a great thing. So, you know, am I spreading things around? And we've talked about this before on a whole show about just spreading stuff around and putting stuff at your office, putting stuff in your car, putting stuff in, you know, your spouse's car, putting stuff at your parents' house, putting stuff at your friend's house. Like, not only are you helping them to kind of add some supplies just in case they need it, or you're over there and something happens, boom, no worry, I got a fucking bug out bag that I keep at my parents, or I have a, you know, this cool ammo can, you know, I call them adventure kits, but it's like I've got this ammo can stashed at my buddy's house. He just tucks it back in his garage. He doesn't even have to worry about it. But if I'm over his house and something happens, I can go pop that adventure kit and pow, I've got some cool supplies in there. So kind of stashing stuff around is important.
And if you have a travel trailer, you can actually use that. And you I'm of the opinion that your travel trailer should always be skeleton stocked. It should always, you should be able to hook it up
And go.
Yep. And pretty much you can survive on what's in it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the idea of having a travel trailer now because I have 30 gallons parked next to my house of water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I actually want to upgrade that water tank. I found out you can. So yeah. I'm going to upgrade that water tank and get like 60 gallons of water just parked next to the house at all fucking times. Like, yeah, it's great to have that little bit of extra. So there's a lot of things, obviously, we didn't have time to get to today. But consider that. Use this as a baseline. Use this as a way to start opening up your mind and going from daily use items. Forget about the long-term stuff. There's a lot of stuff you can get involved in there. We read out the list of some of the more common things we see people make mistakes of. But what are you doing in a daily use just to deal with your daily emergencies? Really take stock of it and figure out where you need to fill in the gaps. Our independence training moment for this week is teaching our – or let me go back. What did Glenn and Drew do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? And that was teaching our kids more about cold weather layering and the importance of good gear. We went up and played in the snow for a whole day, and it was awesome that for the most part, everybody was dry and warm and happy. And that's because, one, we invest in good gear. But two, we've also taught them effectively about layering. And why is this important? Because it removes a variable. Now I can take the kids out into cold weather and I don't have to worry about them not being prepared. And that removes our stress as parents. And of course, when they go out without us, which they do, then it gives them an opportunity to make sure that they're prepared even when we're not always around them. Remember that preparing your kids for things isn't just to make your life easier, it's to make their life better so that they'll be good when you're not right next to them. Independence Training Moment brought to you by Independence Training at trainingaz.com. Remember, you can always bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email info@trainingaz.com. If this year, 2023, is the year you want to train with us, but you don't live near us, hit us up with an email and let's see what we can put together for you. All right. Our calendar is filling up incredibly quickly. It's going to be late summer, early fall before we can get to anybody. So please make sure that you hit us up as early as you can. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, MRC Phoenix, and PMA or Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Be sure to check out the other wonderful things that our network does. So many options they have. If you're in media or you need transcription services or publication services or anything like that, they can help you out. Next week, we're going to be doing a pack dump right before we go to the NRL Hunter match put on by our very own Josh up in Paulden, Arizona. We're going to do a pack dump of our rifle competition packs. What do we carry when it's time to go to rifle competitions? Until then, stay where, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.